King of the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi everyone, I'm Gary Null. Today we're going to learn about how a meta-analysis, meaning many different studies, took a real in-depth look at using olive oil on a daily basis and finds very strong anti-inflammatory benefits. University of Lisbon, which is in Portugal. We have a lot to share on health and healing today, and that'll be one of the things we talk about. I'm going to have Richard Gale on in about 15 minutes to talk about the anti-vaxxers celebrate victory in New Jersey as pro-vaccine bill falls apart, but the bill's sponsors vow to immediately try again. Here's what you should know. You've never heard of any of the bill's sponsors. They're not the people in your legislature. No, and this is true in every state. So today, for the first time, we are doing our own investigative reporting that we've been working on for some time to find out who's really behind the mandated vaccines. Certainly no legitimate scientist who looks at the evidence will say that we should put unproven toxicants into a child's body before the child even has an immune system. It goes against all real science. So today you're going to find out. Also today, Helen will be back giving us another example of people who are on Wikipedia's board, Wikimedia's board that controls Wikipedia, because if you think you can change anything, inaccuracies and character assassinations and destruction of people's reputations, good luck. You can't. It doesn't exist, not when it comes to complementary and alternative medicine. And there's a whole lot of evidence to support that this is done with malice aforethought, and that's going to come back to bite them in the very near future. So we're going to take another look, and she's going to go slower today, because some people said she goes a little fast. She'll go slow. Plus, she's going to stop and give you proper context to what each of these things mean. Also today, I'm going to go to our questions. You've been calling in and asking questions or making statements, and we're here to play them, and then I'll see what they are when the audience does as well. And for those of you who have heard a show, maybe in the archives at night, and you'd like to make a comment, let me give you the number you can call and make your comment. This is our voicemail number, 862-800-6805. Again, 862-800-6805. And if you want to download any of our shows, one phone call, and you can download five different programs, that number, write it down, please, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Also today, I'm going to do a new documentary. And any veterans in this audience who would like to participate, I will bring in veterans to be on the team because it's time that we exposed everyone involved from the Defense Department to the Pentagon to the National Security Agency, to the White House, through every administration from Bush Sr., Clinton, all of them, who've denied Gulf War Syndrome, denied the toxicity of the vaccines. Now, I've done four award-winning documentaries on veterans, and this will be the fifth. But this time, I'm going not into the battlefields. I'm going to do the latest science on what we can prove, and we can prove 42 separate medical conditions from the vaccines they've been given. That means the FDA should be held accountable. And I'm going to have you hear from a veteran today who had provable vaccine-related injuries, and they won't compensate him, they won't help him. Also, if you've wondered how in the world does Puerto Rico have all these Category 5 category 5.9 and 6.5 earthquakes, a bunch of them, in the last 2 weeks. Well, I have a person who's an official in Puerto Rico. We're going to hear from him a little later on today. And he says he knows why all these earthquakes are happening. And he said industry knows as well. Also, we will have a clip from the world's leading authority on vaccines contradicting the New Jersey Senate President Sweeney. He is wrong if he says that aborted fetal cells are not in those vaccines. They are, and under oath, in a deposition that we got from the world's leading authority, he confirms that. I want you to hear from him. And so we have a lot to share. Let's get started. First up, according to news reporting from Lisbon, the prevalence of non-communicable diseases is rapidly increasing, and evidence shows that diet and lifestyle are key areas of intervention to decrease their burden. Olive oil is considered one of the key nutritional components responsible for the benefits of the Mediterranean diet, which is characterized by the use of olive oil in meals as the main source of fat. Now, they also have lots of healthy water, fruits and vegetables, nuts and legumes, whole grains and spices, and a moderate amount of dairy products, mainly yogurt and cheese, some fish, some poultry, some red wine, but there's been a whole shift away from red meat and processed foods. So the news correspondents obtained a quote from the research from the University of Lisbon where they said that olive oil intake on a daily basis can turn off three inflammatory markers, C-reactive protein, interleukin-6, and tumor necrosis factor alpha. That's terrific because those all can lead to heart attack and stroke. Now, if you've been to Italy, and I hope you do because the Italian people are just wonderful, they're beautiful, they're fun, they put their passion into what they believe, there's no such thing as a bad meal in Italy if it's a traditional Italian meal. But you'll notice when you go into their homes, in the middle of a dish, they have olive oil. But frequently, it's a darker olive oil, a stronger taste. It's the real virgin first-pressed oil. And a lot of them do it themselves, or neighbors or friends or someone in their community does it. Then around that, they frequently have a plate of like 6, 7, 8, 9 different types of olives. And much like we would have crudités, they have this as appetizers. And then they'll take this homemade bread and they soak it in that olive oil. And that's what they eat generally prior to a meal. So put it on your bucket list. Visit Italy, not in the cities. Yes, everybody should go to one of the two most beautiful cities in the world. Now, mind you, there's a big city, St. Petersburg, in my opinion, is the most beautiful city in the world. Greatest architecture. Some of the most interesting art ever. Catherine the Great was responsible for that. But also in a small little city, you can walk around the whole city in an afternoon, is Florence. And that is, of the 300 plus years of the Medici power family in banking and commerce, it was Lorenzo de' Medici who was the primary sponsor of the Renaissance, and he's the one who paid for the philosophers and the artists like Michelangelo and Raphael and others to do their work, and he was very much a community person. And you've got to sit in some of their parks and realize those weren't thrown together. Read the history of how he would meet with a philosopher, a great philosopher at the time, and there'd be a philosopher, an architect, and an artist, and they would explain to the artist, like a Michelangelo, here's what we want you to do and why we want you to do it. And then he would say, ah, I see now. So that's why Florence is just one of the most beautiful places in the world. Anyhow, from Tufts University comes a study published in the peer-reviewed journal of Gerontology, Medical Sciences, that low vitamin K levels are associated with the disability and mobility limitations as you grow older. And there's no reason that anyone should be low in vitamin K, but we are. And And if we don't have enough vitamin K, you're not going to be able to have that mobility. You're not going to be able to have flexibility. You're going to feel tight and limited and frequently disabled. So if nothing else, just take your 1 to 2 milligrams a day of vitamin K complex. All right? It's simple. From the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, an article published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology shows that the more green tea you drink, the longer you live. And in fact, you live an average median of 7.3 years that were followed, and less cancer, heart disease, and stroke or death from any causes was documented. Now, we don't drink much green tea or white tea or oolong tea in the United States. We should. And this is one more reason why you should. In fact, the people who drank tea every day had a 20% lower risk of heart disease and stroke, 22% lower risk of fatal heart disease and stroke, and 15% lower risk of death from any and all causes during the follow-up in comparison to the non-tea drinkers. So that's a big deal. Mind you, that's without exercise, that's without a healthy diet, that's without vitamin C and other nutrients. That's just by itself. It can give up to 20 to 25% less chance of you dying. From New York University comes a study today about flame retardants and pesticides overtake heavy metals as our biggest contributors to an IQ loss. And what the university is saying is simple. There's going to be a lot of adverse outcomes from childhood exposures to lead and mercury, but those are on the decline, and because we are having some restrictions that have been in place on the use of heavy metals. But despite decreasing levels, exposure to these and other toxic chemicals, especially flame retardants, meaning furniture, mattresses, sheets, wall coverings, curtains, carpets, all that has these flame retardants in it and pesticides. And that is leading to what they consider more than 1 million cases of intellectual disability in the United States in between 2001 and 2016. Furthermore, as the target of significantly fewer restrictions, experts say flame retardants and pesticides now represent the bulk of that cognitive loss. One more reason to go natural and organic. Also, addressing hypertension means reducing sodium, avoiding trans fat, and according to the Harvard School of Public Health, that could help the heart of 94 million Americans. Yeah, this is published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation. So we're talking about 100 million people could be prematurely dying due to heart issues. And I've had so many friends die of heart attacks and heart disease, and yet they all thought they had time and didn't want to detoxify and cleanse. You have no idea how frustrating it is when I could help these people, family members and friends, and I just look back at the people who just, I was just thinking about this recently. In fact, it was on New Year's Day. The people who I would go out on a Wednesday or Friday night, we would celebrate friendship for decades, and there'd be different numbers, but there'd always be a Tom Larson, who was one of the administrators of a major hospital on Long Island, wonderful, caring, loving person, and Neil Kramer. He had been my close friend. He was an attorney. And Manette Loudon and Virginia Reed and Ron Colusi would be there occasionally. And occasionally it'd be Michael Elner. All these people are dead. Not one of them had to die. But try to get someone who says that shouldn't you work on your heart? Shouldn't you work on cleansing and detoxifying? They'd all give you the same excuse. I'll get to it, just not right now. I've got to get this done first. Well, what happens if by the time you get around to doing it, you're now incapacitated or dying or dead? That happened to Ron Colucci, dean at Fairleigh Dickinson University. You have no idea how many times he said he was going to come down and detox, get himself into shape. It was important. Very intellectual man. He's an attorney, but he was a very, very strong-minded and creative dean. And so it was always tomorrow, and then one day he dies in the parking lot out there. So when you've seen death of so many people, and at the same time you remember all the evenings where you would laugh and everybody enjoyed their meal, and then go to walk down to Lincoln Center and see something there, a symphony, a play, go to an art theater, and the whole evening from 6 till midnight was spent just enjoying each other's companionship. We never talked politics. We never talked about sex, politics, or religion, because whatever your views were, they were your business. We talked about friendship and laughing at ourselves and each other and life. And then one day, one by one, boom, 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 boom. And the only ones who are still around are the ones who made the point of caring about their health and got out of their comfort zone. So imagine that you could be one of those 100 million people who aren't aware that you have a 80% blockage in your carotid artery that feeds your brain, or you have atherosclerosis and you don't know it yet. And by the time you find out, it may be too late. When will you give yourself a chance to put your life and your health first? Everything else will be there when you get back. But what happens if you don't, and then you have your stroke or heart attack? Anyhow, University of Michigan. Home-cooked meals are linked to higher diet quality. And Americans who cook meals at home frequently are more likely to have an overall better quality diet. Now, I also would say that that also determines where you live. If you live in many of the inner cities, you don't have the availability of the same amount of organic produce or farmers markets or big health food stores where you could buy inexpensive. And by the way, for people who say, oh, organic's too expensive, it is not. Because you can buy legumes, you can buy a pound of brown rice or a pound of split peas or whatever grain or legume you choose, and it's going to be half the price of a hamburger. The difference is one will kill you, the other will heal you. So you just got to better educate yourself and go to the farmer's market. There's lots of really good fresh homegrown produce you can buy inexpensively. But when you take the time to plan out a meal and you go to get the raw ingredients and go down to Madison Avenue in around 32nd Street, go to some of the Indian stores, you'll go in there and suddenly your whole senses are overwhelmed by so many aromas. They might have 100 different types of curry. You got to see it. It's wonderful. I go down there all the time. Our corporate headquarters down there. So I walk over there and take my knapsack and, you know, my shoulder bag and load up with all kinds of great spices I can't find anywhere else. So try that, or wherever you live. And finally, compounds in broccoli sprouts that you can grow easily, within 6 days you can grow a whole gigantic bowl of broccoli sprouts, can help fight gastritis and stomach ulcers, according to the University of Tohoku in Japan. They're rich in quercetin and carotenoids and potassium and iron and folate and fiber and vitamin C and vitamin K. But they're really good for you. And this was published in Current Pharmaceutical Design. So the number one ingredient in broccoli and broccoli sprouts is sulforaphane. It's sulfur. And sulfur is a great anti-inflammatory. It's your best non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, because you don't want the aspirin and ibuprofen. Those are very toxic. So just eat broccoli sprouts. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Richard Gale shortly, and then we're going to hear from Helen, and then we're going to play you a clip, all of which is meant to empower us. Please stay with us. Thank you. We'll go over and say hello to Richard Gale. Hi, Richard.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Richard, Beth Mole from a publication in New Jersey has a photograph up on her website of, I'm guessing, 1,000 to 2,000 parents who are outside the state capitol, and they're celebrating the collapse of Senate Bill 2173 that yesterday the lawmakers realized was a single vote shy of passage, and the defeat came after a last-ditch effort to amend the beleaguered legislation, which ultimately generated new opposition. Here's what's missing. The public is not aware of how absolutely flawed and biased all of the scientific literature is on vaccine safety and efficacy. You and I have interviewed in depth immunologists, toxicologists, and one toxicologist alone, the one at British Columbia, and a professor from Harvard said, or a graduate from Harvard said, that there's not a single study in the world literature showing that a single ingredient is safe and good for you in vaccines. They're all toxic, just to varying degrees. But no one looks at the toxicological data, and if they did, they would be overwhelmed by thousands of studies on lead, mercury, polysorbate 80. So that's one argument nobody has. Nobody talks about the corruption at the CDC, where they've knowingly created fraudulent material on the MMR vaccine back in 2001 and then again in 2004 to show that it was not harmful, and yet the actual data that they hid and tried to destroy showed a 224% increase in autism spectrum disorder in African-American boys 36 months and younger. They hid that. Now, that is no that is institutional racism. Every African-American in America, led by the Black Caucus, should have had hearings and brought William Thompson, who was the head of that study, and acknowledged the fraud in tape recordings by Professor Brian Hooker. Not a single effort to get him before Congress. That shows you how corrupt and filled with malfeasance even the Black Caucus is in Washington. Then you should have religious leaders all over this. And the only one who is, that I can find, is Louis Farrakhan. And of course, you realize what that means in the mainstream media. They're going to pillar him as an anti-Semite and discredit anything he has to say, even though on this issue, he is correct. So the public is left that, yes, they are safe and needed, and something's wrong with you for not wanting to be vaccinated or having a kid because your child, unvaccinated, is representing a danger to my fully vaccinated child in school. Well, think of the logic of that. If vaccines are meant to protect you, how is that if I'm fully vaccinated and you're not, that you represent a danger to me? Should be just the opposite. And yet the ones who have the least amount of childhood illnesses are unvaccinated children. So we've written 47 articles, all scholarly articles, all fully footnoted, showing this. We've done 4 award-winning documentaries, the latest being Deadly Deception. But behind all this is a whole other set of players. And today I want you to lay out who's really behind these dancing clowns in the Jersey legislature who are only the mouthpieces of people who are far more powerful. The form is yours.
Yes, Gary. And it's not just New Jersey. Let's remember New York State now has passed mandates for and removing the exemption of religion and philosophical exemptions. I think let's just need to know, there's one thing. These bills are being submitted and they're being passed primarily by the Democrat Party. For a long time, we thought with Alec, some years ago, we were looking at Alec's role in this, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the Koch brothers, but we were wrong in that assumption that some years ago when there seemed to be some evidence for it. But taking a much closer look, what we find is that there's another network of coalitions, groups, professional, medical professional associations that are really working behind this. I've identified 5 main players in this. One is the National Conference of State Legislatures that people don't hear about very much anymore. It's the alternative. You could say it's the liberal or centrist alternative to ALEC. And this was founded by an act of Congress back in the early 70s, the same time as ALEC was founded. ALEC works primarily through the lobbying efforts and giving precedence to corporations. The National Conference of State Legislatures, which all elected officials in state assemblies, houses, and senates belong to, receive membership because of taxpayer dollars. It is federally funded. And therefore, it promotes the policies of the federal system, i.e. the CDC, the FDA, and Human Health and Services, to promote the policies of the to the elected officials. It takes its recommendations directly from the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, which is stacked with, you could say, just pharmaceutical shills, people that are receiving kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry. It also works very closely with a group called the Immunization Action Coalition. This is the main source, say it's the one-stop source for vaccine activism and information. Its specific goal is to simply increase immunization rates, and its advisory board is literally who's who of all the vaccine advocates from medical associations, universities, the CDC, people like Paul Offit, Stanley Plotkin. These are all, they are all members. It's a scientific coalition. And that, so therefore they're given kind of carte blanche expertise. And they're the primary group behind the efforts to mandate the Gardasil vaccine, for example. The third party is the National Academy of State Health Policy. And this is a forum of policymakers. They conduct policy research and provide analysis for the elected officials. It's more, you could think of it as a federally funded think tank. And fourth group is a group called Academy Health. Now, this is a group that provides technical assistance. And by the way, each of these groups, they're all connected. This is a network. They work together, but they all have a little piece of the puzzle that they play. So the Academy of Health provides technical assistance to the states. They host meetings for all the state officials to educate them on the ways to increase vaccination rates. And then the fifth player, which doesn't get mentioned as much, but is probably one of the most important ones, are the universities. The universities have been hijacked by the pharmaceutical industry. The medical schools receive incredible amounts of funding and donations to have their buildings renamed after Merck or Glaxo or Pfizer. And they provide a lot of even the education of the medical students. So the universities are actually engaged in writing legislative proposals. They don't write the legislature as ALEC does. They give the legal arguments for vaccine laws. For example, Dorit Reese at the UC of California Law School, who wrote a lot of the arguments for Senator Richard Pan in California for the most draconian, worst vaccine laws we have in the country. And this is that. So the universities are very much engaged, and of course, the Immunization Action Coalition members are, many of them are university professors as well, specialized in vaccination and immunology. So that's the network as I see it. It's a very powerful. It's deeply connected with the federal health agencies, the CDC, FDA, Human Health and Services. So that's where we're at.
Okay, I want you to listen for a moment, because we're going to play the most famous vaccinologist in the world. He is considered the godfather of all vaccinations, and here he's under oath. He's in a deposition with a very smart attorney. This is about 6 hours long. This is about 20 seconds. Listen carefully, because this flies right in the face of what the senator from New Jersey was trying to tell people. Oh, you know, there's no aborted fetal cells and vaccines here. Listen to what this man has to say. This is Professor Plotkin.
Was back in the 50s and 60s, they used fetal tissue to make the vaccines. That was the reason why. They don't do that now. They don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
You heard what he asked to say. Now, let's hear what the world's leading authority on vaccine has to say.
Deicher, and I am a scientist, the president and founder of Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute. MMR, chickenpox, Zostavax, that's shingles from Merck, all hepatitis A containing vaccines, Pentacell, the polio component of that, and one of the rabies vaccines. Some of the cell lines that they're using for vaccine manufacture were made back in the 70s. They're starting to kind of poop out, so they're actually have to make new cell lines to replace those. On a daily basis, aborted babies are harvested and exploited for biomedical research.
This one.
Joining vaccines on the childhood vaccine schedule contain MRC5 human diploid cells.
Yes.
What are these?
Rubella, varicella, hepatitis A. Let's see.
What are MRC5 cells?
They are human fibroblast cell strain.
And how were they created?
They were created by taking fetal tissue and from a particular fetus that was aborted by maternal choice, and the cells, the so-called fibroblast cells, were cultivated from that tissue. The fibroblast cells replicate for about 50 passages and then die.
So MRC5 cells are the cultured cell lines from aborted fetal tissue?
They're not cell lines.
What are they?
Cell strains cultivated from an aborted fetus, yes.
Have it. You have the head of the Senate saying one thing and being completely contradicted by someone who knows far more about it, the world's leading authority on vaccines. By the way, I have the actual transcripts of that. I'm going to be reporting on this later this week, showing you that the certainty that he gives about safety and efficacy of vaccines when he's talking before the public or in a classroom is different than when he's talking under oath in a deposition in a lawsuit. Now, there's one last thing, Richard, I'd like you to hear. If we have this clip, this is a hearing. We had it ready yesterday, the ACIP meeting. It's number one on our list from yesterday, Jesse. So if you can play this, this is a short clip, but this is the so-called experts that you were mentioning at the CDC and the FDA getting together, all pro-vaccine people. And I want you to hear how they pass on a vaccine without any evidence of its toxicity.
Is there any comment on using this vaccine the same time with other adjuvanted vaccines?
We have no data to make a recommendation one way or the other.
So just to sort of put this in context of other vaccines, while preclinical studies were not done using these vaccines simultaneously, our general approach to immunizations is that they can be given at the same time in different limbs.
Dr. Hunter?
Are multiple adjuvanted vaccines used in Europe or other markets?
Dr. Ward, do you want to comment?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I think unless there's any further discussion, we will take a vote on this recommendation.
I want to remind everyone to please check your voting whatever machine thing, and voting is open.
Thank you very much. So the voting is completed, and it is unanimous to support this recommendation. Thank you all.
Listen to what you just heard. First, they say, do we have any evidence about what happens when we have two different vaccines at the same time? The answer is no, zero, none. There's never been a study, but we're confident. Confident in what? Then the idea is that have these been tested in ways before they're used? No, we'll get to that afterwards, meaning give the kids and adults vaccines, and then over the next year or two, we'll see what kind of adverse effects there are, and then we'll deal with it. I've never seen anything this irresponsible in my life. This is what the clowns in all the legislators, because in my opinion, I don't like any of them. They're all clowns. They're politicians, and I don't like politicians. I don't care who they are, because they're all culpable of being influenced except with the facts. So you have people who have no background in the biological sciences, no background in immunology, no background in toxicology, and they're the ones with absolute certainty that your kids should be vaccinated with a toxicant that is known to be neurotoxic, known to cause autism spectrum disorder, because one area of the government actually has rewarded people, 81 people, who with autism spectrum disorder conditions, and that is a difficult challenge. So you should start to protest with a lot more vigor, and I suggest the only way you're going to win on this is if you get a national campaign together, and this summer you go down to Washington, D.C., and you go on to wear yellow vests, support what, look, we don't even talk about what they're doing in France. They brought the entire country to its knees. Macron, that buffoon, that fascist, he's worse than Trump in some respects, a former top banker with the international banking community, a globalist, neoliberal, he had to back off from reducing their pensions. He had to back off from the teachers' unions. He had to back down on all the proposals that he was going to ram through that would have adversely affected the people. And the people stood up, the people protested, the people brought France to its knees. We don't ever get to that level in our society. We should. We should have a general strike. Close down Washington, D.C. I'd like to see it close down forever, quite frankly, and turn into a pasture for all the good it is. It's already fully, it's got enough manure already there, so you could plant anything and it would grow. You got to show the real science that there is no science supporting vaccine safety and efficacy. And you got to do that by protesting, and there's not enough people to do that yet. But we'll be giving you a couple articles very shortly, next week and the week after, that'll help show you how corrupt the whole system is. None of it's based on science. Richard, your final thoughts, please.
The only other thought I would have is also to target the particular legislators who are pushing these bills. Those are the ones that are the best educated on it, and they're the ones that the lobbying groups and these different organizations I've mentioned have reached out to. Other legislators are not as well familiar, but they have to vote. That's what their job is. They go to they're in the Assembly and Senate. But it's the ones who are sponsoring the bills that are the most dangerous. And those are the ones that really need to be called out, and finding any other kind of dirt on these people and putting any kind of even threats to support any efforts to have them voted out of office. That would be my other one.
Well, support their opposition, support people, support homemakers. Yeah, support mothers and fathers whose children have been killed or damaged because of vaccines to run against them. By the way, none of this is going to end well until such time that we get rid of the 1986 Vaccine Immunization Act. That should be the ultimate goal. Everything should be towards that, and that's one of our upcoming articles. We're going to show in a major investigative report that the entire vaccine immunization identification law was political and economic, had nothing to do with science. And we're naming all the people involved. Thank you, Richard.
Okay, you're welcome, Richard.
We're going to go to Helen in just a second, but let me mention that tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we're going to be airing a really interesting program at 7 o'clock. It's going to be on fish worldwide, and it's going to show you why you should not trust any fish that you're eating, even if you're eating fish for health reasons, because the true story from Norway, the corruption by the person. And by the way, I commend this documentarian. This is the best documentary I've ever seen on fish. It takes you behind the scenes. It shows you why she will not speak out against a particular very toxic chemical that's used in fish production. And then they found that she has a corporation where her and her family members own all the stock in the very company that is doing business. At the same time, she's the top person in the whole fish industry in Norway. It's that bad. But then you get to see the fish from Vietnam and the fish from Thailand and Cambodia and France and all over. It's all bad. You got to watch this. This is a phenomenal documentary that I'm going to be playing tonight at 7 p.m. on the Progressive Commentary Hour. Also, I work with a lot of people who are terminally ill. In fact, I only work with people who are terminally ill. And the good news is that if you get a person that really wants to live, there's a very high success rate. But it's still costly. I don't charge anything for my time. I donate my time. But there's still bills. So it's a really surprise and wonderful when someone comes forward and says they want to help these people, and indeed do. And I want to thank Steve Brown, longtime friend, decades. He stepped forward and he's paying for a couple people to get their full complementary care. And that's a major contribution, and it's certainly going to be a lifesaver for them. And so thank you, Steve Brown, for coming up and helping out. Now let's go over to Helen Buniski, that's B-U-Y-N-I-S-K-I, and she has some information on one of the members of the Wikimedia Foundation, either trustees or board or officers. And these are people who all have something in common. They all are in a capacity as fiduciaries that they can, if they chose, bring to Jimmy Wells' attention and the director's attention that we've got a problem. We've got extremely biased ideologues with no background, no qualifications, protected by their anonymous signage, who are attacking innocent individuals, reputable individuals, and destroying their reputations and preventing millions of people from using complementary alternative medicine, whether it's acupuncture or chiropractic or naturopathy or homeopathy, because all they do nonstop 24/7 is attack, attack, attack. And these people all know it. How do I know? Because our lawyers have sent 13 letters detailing in complete documentation the bias of these people, and they haven't done a damn thing about it except have a lawyer tell us not to write any more letters or articles to the board members. Good luck with that. Helen, what have you found, please? And give us a little context as you're sharing your information on this one person.
Sure. So today we're going to talk about James Heilman, who's one of the trustees of the Wikimedia Foundation. James Heilman goes by Doc James, as in Dr. James. He's a Canadian emergency room physician who runs Wiki Project Medicine, which is a subsidiary of the editor group, like the specific editors that concentrate on the medical sector, and the Wiki Project Medicine Foundation, the site's primary vehicle for interfacing with Big Pharma. Wiki Project Medicine came up with the Medical Reliable Sources, short MEDRS, guidelines that require editors editing health-related articles to use a higher standard of source than typical articles. So instead of just using your ordinary magazine or newspaper article, you have to get a medical journal, a review article, like a Cochrane review or something like that. You can't just get a single medical study that's been done. It's a smart rule, aside from the mile-wide loopholes carved into it by the fringe guideline appended by self-styled skeptics who demand the right to libel alternative medical practitioners with impunity. Fringe is a less stringent guideline than medical reliable sources. Basically means not only can you use like ordinary newspapers and magazines, but you can go kind of one level below that, and you're not supposed to use self-published sources on the biographies of living people, but if they fall into the fringe heading, you can use that, and it's a much looser standard. It allows them to get away with a lot as far as the sort of negative things they're allowed to put in people's biographies. Capital S skeptics are characterized by a quasi-religious regard for orthodox medical science, quote-unquote, which in their view is unchangeable, unquestionable, existing in a state of timeless perfection, and a seething hatred of medical practices that haven't made it into the mainstream, even, especially, if they work. So, obviously, science is changing constantly. That's the whole point of experimentation. You revise your hypothesis. You come up with a better hypothesis. Skeptics don't view science that way. They view it as a sort of a religious dogma. If a practice or healer does not fit into current medical orthodoxy, it is susceptible to being edited under fringe guidelines rather than under medical reliable sources guidelines. At which point, even self-published sources that normally aren't permitted as Wikipedia citations can be weaponized against the hapless article subject, even if they're a living person, even if they'd normally be subject to libel laws and libel protections. James Heilman is a relentless proselytizer, singing the praises of Wikipedia's medical accuracy as he spearheads the foundation's efforts to insinuate Wikipedia into real-world health agencies. Accordingly, he has encouraged and organized editing initiatives at the National Institutes of Health, the National Libraries of Medicine, even big pharma conglomerate GlaxoSmithKline, having actual members of that organization and of all of these health agencies go in and edit Wikipedia in an organized fashion. The World Health Organization is even collaborating with Wikipedia on its revision of the International Classification of Diseases into the ICD-11. A sobering thought given the pro-pharmaceutical leanings rampant in Wikipedia's medical content. So basically, unless you agree that Wikipedia is a bastion of medical accuracy, which studies have shown again and again that it's not, the idea that these guidelines are going to be enshrined in with the imprimatur of the World Health Organization, and this is this trustee is largely behind all of this. So this is a very powerful man, and nobody knows his name, and that's something we're trying to remedy here.
But we'll find it.
Despite Heilman's proclamations that Wikipedia has brought about a new dawn in medicine, the site's medical articles are riddled with verification issues and apparent conflicts of interest. Informed that Wikipedia was unwittingly mirroring a crowdsourced pharmaceutical database called DrugBank that had gotten its own information from Wikipedia, a circular reporting phenomenon called cytogenesis, Heilman took no action besides adding DrugBank to a list of mirror sites and calling them to complain about their sloppy sourcing. Now, mirroring a site means taking the information that's on Wikipedia and DrugBank put it on their site with no sourcing, no additional sourcing, no reporting to back up anything. And then Wikipedia just took the information that's on DrugBank, which had already come from Wikipedia, and used that to verify the Wikipedia information. Obviously, you can't verify anything this way. The reason it has its own name, cytogenesis, it happens in reporting all the time. It happens in news. But it's much more disturbing when it happens in medicine because, of course, people's lives can depend on this. Yet this is the website that has largely supplanted traditional medical resources for students and doctors, especially in lower-income countries. Faced with the gulf of missing and inaccurate information, Heilman has repeatedly tried to push the blame onto medical professionals, chiding them for not updating Wikipedia, making updating Wikipedia a part of their job. Like doctors don't have enough to do. They need to be editing Wikipedia for this guy. Of course, doctors who try to bring the encyclopedia up to date on naturopathic treatments or the benefits of supplements or acupuncture or homeopathy, et cetera, will find their contributions trashed and perhaps their usernames topic banned from the medical subject area because their work in alternative medicine creates a quote-unquote conflict of interest. Heilman's own medical career, of course, is excused from any such conflict, as are the editors who hail from health agencies and drug companies who've passed through Wikipedia's Train the Experts program. This is a colossal irony of what Wikipedia's medical area is, that if you are an alternative medical professional and you try to edit articles about alternative medicine, any other place you'd be hailed as an expert and your contributions welcomed. In Wikipedia, no, you're fringe, you're a kook, you're a quack, you have to get away, and they'll probably ban you, if not just topic ban you. This means you can't edit anything that you're an expert in. It's upside down. Heilman was quick to throw even his fellow worshippers of Orthodox medicine under the bus last year in a rush to seal a deal with video production company Osmosis that would replace high-traffic medical articles with 5 to 10 minute explainer videos, prominently featuring the company's branding. When the first videos were unveiled in March 2018, after 3 years of Sub Rosa collaboration, furious editors rushed to delete the monstrosities, which, in addition to pushing vaccines and Orthodox drug treatments, also included inaccurate and outdated medical information. This was a collaboration between the Wiki Project Medicine Foundation, which is Heilman's baby, and a for-profit video production company, which is wildly against all of Wikipedia's rules about, oh, everybody does this for free, there's no conflicts of interest, et cetera, et cetera. This is completely against, and this guy is on the board of trustees, so no wonder everything is wrong over there. The deletions were reverted by Heilman. Sorry?
Helen, we're running short on time. We're going to post the article in its entirety. It's a very long article. That's why we're doing these in little segments. And you've given us enough on Heilman to understand why he's a perfect fit for Jimmy Wales and the culture of Wikimedia Foundation. And we look forward to your next installment. That's Helen Beniski. And she'll continue. And she's a legitimate investigative journalist, not one of the hacks we find at the New York Times. In any case, we're going to end up the show today by letting you know that coming in March 22nd will be the second and final installment of the anti-aging clinical study. I have reviewed the results this morning. They were sent to me. Absolutely spectacular. They're being sent out to all of the different scientific groups today. The heads of those groups already have seen them, and now all that we have to do is duplicate it, meaning I will not be administering it. I will be there, but they will have a group of physicians and PhDs there to administer it, and about 67% of all science is not reproducible, and hence it's junk science, 67%. So what we have to do is we have to show that we can get the same results from a group of people, cross-match, same number of people, doing the same identical protocols for the same 60 days on campus, and dealing with their body, their blood chemistry, taking objective tests before and after, measuring, bring in our exercise physiologists, do all the exercise. And so if you want to be considered a part of this landmark study, because if we're able to duplicate it and come up with the same results we did before this time, then we will have set scientific history and a whole new way to understand that we don't have to get these diseases of aging. If we do, we can impact them positively. People came with high blood pressure and diabetes and arthritis and depression for their whole life, gone, completely normal. Even though that's not what we were doing. We were looking at the DNA. Can we change an older DNA to a younger DNA? Can we create new stem cells in older people that only have old stem cells? Can we reverse libido and can reverse some muscle mass loss? Can we reverse inflammation in the brain? Can we reverse these degenerative diseases? And we were able to do it. No one's ever done this before. This is a landmark study. So I'm very excited by it. We had some phenomenal results. I mean, some of the results are just almost unbelievable. And thank goodness we filmed them doing this, or you wouldn't believe that a person could do 600% increase in push-ups. Just insane. From going from 2 miles walking and no more to 26.3 miles and filled with energy. So if you want to be a part of this historic study, we have to do our duplication to show that we can reproduce the results. We have a limited number of people we're allowing in, and you have to be interviewed by Lou Anne Panessi to see if this is qualifies you. You cannot come in if you have a life-threatening illness, meaning you can't have terminal cancer. Now, I work with terminal people, yes, but that's a different protocol. This is a very specialized protocol just for anti-aging. It is my belief that if people continue the protocol, and we're following these people for another year, that at the end of a year, I believe that we could reverse 20 years off their aging. And then I believe that people will have the right to say their biological age and prove it rather than their chronological age. Could you imagine being 70 and saying, I'm now 47? Because that's your biological age. Anyhow, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a lot of work for the staff and myself. I'm up at 4 and go till midnight, and it's nonstop. But when I look at the results, when I looked last night at the results, for the first time I saw them all, I was just blown away. I didn't even expect this phenomenal results. So this is the anti-aging clinical study. No medicines used. And it's all about lifestyle and behavior, etc. You can call Luann Panessi at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. You have to have a positive attitude. It requires discipline. This is not a resort. It's not Club Med. You can't come to play and cuddle. This is not about that. It's not about making new friends and bonding and spending afternoons laughing. This is a serious study to change your life, to change your DNA, to change how you age, to change the diseases of aging, to change your brain, to change the molecules, the RNA, back to a younger, stronger. And when you see how many people had diminishing bones, and we were in some cases almost doubled bone mass in these people, we rebuilt their bones so they're not suffering from osteoporosis and the danger of having a hip fracture and dying of an infection from it. I mean, muscle mass, where one woman came and she had no muscles. I mean, zero muscles. And now she's actually ripped. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So the scientists are watching, and it's going to be monitored by thousands of scientists, thousands around the world, because the two of the largest, most respected anti-aging institutions in the world are monitoring this, and they're the ones who told us what blood chemistries had to be done. They supplied all that. I did the protocol. They did all of the parameters to make it objective. So this is a big deal. If you want to be a part of a big deal, hopefully change your life, your health, call 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008 starts March 22nd. You got to be on campus. You got to be there for 60 days. Okay? Have a nice day, everyone, and don't forget to listen tonight at 7 o'clock, because we're going to tell you more about fish than you've ever known and how yucky it is, and you're going to be able to watch it, too, and see this whole thing. Have a nice day, everyone. Mm-hmm.